Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Chateau St. Michel's Erosia Riesling from Washington. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. Rob, how are you today?
I am saucy.
Oh, my God.
I'm feeling very, very mean.
Warning to the listeners.
Evil-spirited. I am channeling everything that's bad in this world. But also on the show tonight is a very saucy Triple B.
Good evening. Thank you for turning my microphone on.
Just long enough until we realize we need to turn it down. On tonight's show, folks, the superstar is not on because the Triple B did invite him, and then he turned into Casper as he never responded.
Rob got on me about ghosting Steve.
I did, and then I almost called you Steve, but then...
Wait, you ghosted Steve? I want to hear the story.
No, you don't want to hear the story.
Well, we're trying to plan a weekend to go see our friend Steven.
That's true.
And Steve has messaged me like 4 times about setting it up. And I had to ask my mom about childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept forgetting. And then I like honestly felt really bad asking her. And so I kind of put it off. But then he was like, are we going or not? And I was like, okay, this is stupid. I just need to ask her. And she wants to. So it's fine.
There you go. There you go.
The weekend that we want to go, she can't watch the kids. And then blah, blah, blah.
But it's not a big deal. First week in December, right?
No.
She can't go then?
No.
Well, it's second.
No.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. We'll figure it out. Regardless, on the show tonight.
Regardless, I Steve'd Steve.
You did. And I've Steve too, that night that I was too tired to meet you all.
This is revisionist.
I know.
History, because you are quite bitter.
I am bitter, you bastards. But anyway, on the tonight show.
Brujol.
I know. I hope you choked. Putting all that aside, I'm going to be calm. But I, tonight, have an interesting wine for the show. Somewhat interesting. Mildly interesting. It's not interesting, but nevertheless.
It's interesting for a white.
It is interesting for a white, and it's interesting because we rarely have this type of varietal on, because we don't really appreciate it very much. But nevertheless.
We're going to try.
Tonight, we're going to try.
Way of talking about it, saying we don't like it.
We don't like it, but it's the Riesling grape. And the Riesling grape can be good. It can be bad.
I'm surprised you didn't say this is more of a wine for women.
Well, it is because it's more of a girl wine. Normally, it's in a bottle shaped as a cat for girls. But tonight, there are men drinking it. I hope we don't have some sort of reaction drinking. Maybe we'll start wearing pink after drinking it. I don't know.
Question.
I was going to say, is he still asleep? Allowed to talk?
Your voice is already higher pitched, Scott, from drinking.
Are you going to let us be on this show, or are you just going to talk the whole time?
Is he still asleep?
It's a man.
Lord knows,
it's a manly show.
Be awoken.
Right. Sure.
So anyway, on the show tonight we have, and I'm sure now they're like, don't have our wine on. But anyway, Eroka Riesling from Washington.
Do you know what that word means?
What is it?
Heroic.
Heroic.
Oh.
This
is the feminine.
This is.
Spanish? Greek?
I think Greek.
Okay. Greek.
Greeks. But this is a cooperative between two esteemed wine producers. One is Chateau St. Michel, obviously in Washington.
We do appreciate and respect.
And the other is Dr. Lucin from Germany. Now, we have had Dr. Lucin's wine on the show before. And I made fun of it. I made fun of Germany.
I think it's Erosia.
No, it's Eroka. I actually listened to a video of the winemaker from Chateau St. Michel and Dr. Lucin review it. And it's Eroka. It shouldn't be, though. It should be Erotica. That's why I bought it. But then I realized that it's not spelled Erotica. And
I know. Rob was like,
shot me
let
down.
Me tell you this story.
Yes. I was very excited.
Rob's like... This was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Scott's going to come over and we're going to drink Erotica. It was the night that Steve was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to drink Erotica.
I said, that's not Erotica.
I'm like, Rob.
Fuck.
Are you sure you're saying that wine name right? Because I don't want you to have your friends over and you do a whole episode calling it erotica only to be 90% of the way through and realize it's
like,
not.
Like so I looked at
like
it.
When he's trying to say typical and he says atypical.
No.
So then
you're in a typical douchebag.
So he was being so pissy. Of course I know it's called erotica. Of course I know it. And then he looks at his phone and guess what it's called?
Erotica.
And I went, fuck. So folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters, Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. The 2016 Eroica.
Oh, no, it's Latin. You're not saying it correctly.
This is the way they pronounced it on the damn video. Eroica. That's how they pronounced it.
It's also the name of Beethoven's Third Symphony.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Well, anyway, this wine is 100% Riesling, as most Rieslings are. Sometimes they blend them a little bit, but this one is 100%. And it's got some reviews, Scott. Would you like to hear about some of those reviews?
You know... I would like nothing more than to hear some of these reviews.
Would you? Well, I'm not going to tell you. No, it.
How dare you?
First of all, it got a 92 from Jeb Dunnock.
Hmm.
Oh, the handsome man with the brilliant hair.
Then it got a 92 from Wines and Spirits.
Hmm.
Then it got a 91 from James Suckass.
And from the Wine Advocate.
Well, I'm not done yet. Then it got a 91 from Robert Parker. Then it got a 90 from Wine Enthusiast. And then it got a 90 from Wine Spectator. Apparently, nobody had anything else to do but drink this wine. Everybody reviewed it other than the decanter. Is that it?
Is it a relatively new project between Dr. Lucien and
No, I've seen it for many years now.
Okay.
Yeah, this is something that's been consistent. And it's around $20. They try to make it their high-level Riesling. And they're trying to make something elegant, and actually they're going for a drier style with this, if they can.
It's been made since 1999.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so as long as I've been in the business, it's been pretty much out there.
Right on.
Yeah. I guess that was late 90s. Yeah.
Oh, I have a trivia piece for you about Riesling.
Okay.
So Washington State produces more Riesling than anywhere else in the U.S., of course.
Yes.
But also more than the entire country of the – okay, I'm not saying this right. The acreage that produces Riesling is larger than the country of Austria. 6,695 acres of Riesling producing acreage.
Mm-hmm.
More than the entire country of Austria.
It's a damn shame a lot of that's made by Hoag, which we also have in the Wine Vault. Don't know why. And some other
That's
ones.
That's crazy, yeah.
Well, it's very popular, and it's very affordable. Most of it's under 10. And it's not bad. You just have to like sweet or have a reason to drink it. Don't really have reasons to drink it, other than because I'm not a lady, apparently, as Triple B said.
Don't know, as you said.
What?
That ladies drink this wine
they
and
do.
Not men.
They do at bridal showers. They do that there. They eat little finger sandwiches and wear white gloves
when
and drink
Riesling. They all go to the bathroom together.
That's right. And then they use cocaine in the bathroom, right? No, they don't do that. I don't know what they do.
How would you comment on what they do at a wedding?
Well, not a lot of bikers drink Riesling that I'm aware of.
When's the last time that you hung out with a biker?
That's a good point. But I've never seen him drinking it when you drive by a bar real fast because you speed up when you see those bars. But nevertheless, I don't know.
Folks...
I don't know.
Please write in and chastise this man. Please.
I beg
you.
But this is satire, Scott. I don't mean any of these things. I have no idea who drinks Riesling. I can only guess.
James Suckling drinks it. He's a dude.
Yeah, but I think you're proving our point more than you think. So let's get into this. Although Jeb Dunnick drinks it.
I do care for a drier Riesling. But
they can have a ton of structure and elegance. I mean, a great German Riesling is a wonderful wine, and I have some in my cellar, and they really are age worthy, and they're collectible, and they're wonderful wines. They really are. There's nothing wrong with the Riesling. You just have to buy a higher quality one to really get what you want.
You have to be a woman.
No, women don't drink German Rieslings. Only the cheap Washington ones, Becky. Don't be stupid. Typical woman. Just. I don't know. There are lots of Riesling collectors, men and women, I'm assuming. Hmm. Yeah. I almost like a good Riesling, a really great Riesling. I akin it to collecting like a port because it's got that much ageability.
Yeah. And
like 30 years?
Yes.
They're just...
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
It's just a completely different wine. So much subtlety. And as Rob said, the structure, they're wonderful. And it's just usually in a nice German dry Riesling, there's just a raw minerality. That's something that I'm a sucker for.
I would agree with you. A good Riesling is going to have that minerality. I think that there's been a lot of commercial Riesling
that's been the thing.
There's like a Moscato that's bubbly, super sweet sugar. And then people have pretty much manipulated Riesling to be basically that.
Riesling, they've always had like the late harvest and stuff like that. And like the Columbia Cellar Masters. And those things, they were those things before... But the producer goes, you know, I don't think this is sweet enough. I don't think this isn't bubbly. Let's make it really bubbly and sweet so people really just say, fuck it.
And it's kind of, we've talked about this 1,000 times, but this is where there needs to be more. I am a favor of more like structure and rules and regulations on our wine.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a Riesling that's been really commercialized and is neon pink when you drink it.
Yeah, I know. It should be in a faux wine category, not a wine category. I agree. It's kind of like it's not too far off of the re-education camps I've been talking about.
Oh,
similar. You know, we want to classify things, and so therefore we know who drinks them, then we can deal with those people. Scott agrees with me. He's not going to admit it right now.
I think it is.
What?
It's
there's somebody who needs re-educated.
I know where I'm at.
Someone at this bar is.
I said I was saucy.
No, I agree. But I just think we should have the same level of pride in our winemaking as other countries do.
We should. I do. All kidding aside.
What is that? What are you even trying to say?
Well, I have salami in my mouth. No, all things aside, I agree with you.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. And
all kidding aside is what I meant to say.
How does it get started? It would have to be pushed from the industry.
Right.
You know, it's not something.
I think like an industry leader needs to be in charge of it. But, you know, if you got a couple of really big wine makers, wine houses behind it, and they came up with some exclusive board, you know that they would love that.
Well, there are some. They're just not like Meritage Society, stuff like that. But they're not well known by the public. The public doesn't rely on them, and they should. But with that, though, very important thing we need to discuss, drinking the wine. So let's get to that.
What?
We can do all this.
We're doing a wine show?
So what are we drinking out of?
We are drinking out of Riedel Zinn Riesling glasses.
What?
Yes, the Zinn glass also doubles as a Riesling glass.
How is that?
Riesling?
Ask
Mr. Riedel.
I think it's a lady, actually.
Oh, Mrs. Riedel.
I have no idea what it is.
I think it's a cousin.
Yeah. On the nose, it's very light, slightly chalky.
Can you turn the music down? I can't think.
Yeah, maybe a little pineapple.
I was going to say pineapple. I almost have like a Sauvignon Blanc pineapple.
Yeah, there. It does. I think I'm getting honeysuckle.
Yeah, some floral.
Something,
thing.
Yeah.
Something honeysuckle? Floral there.
Hmm.
Maybe pear. To me, there's like a something sharp like a pineapple, but then like a...
It's very muted, though.
Sweetness of a pear, a honeysuckle. Yeah. I'm not getting a minerality.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, no. Although the chalkiness is a minerality, so that would be the minerality portion of that.
That's interesting, because that chalkiness is almost what I'm attributing to the pear.
Well, you would find, I'm assuming the soils are limestone soils, probably getting mm-hmm. in the a lot of Washington reds, especially depending on where this is at, have that. Hedges, the CSM or CMS, it was putrid last time we had it, but they tend to be a little chunkier and more loamy.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, for U.S. market Riesling, it's decent nose.
Yeah, it's almost subtle. Effervescent.
It's still. Yeah.
But there's a lot. I have a lot of bubbles in the bottom of mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in.
That's a little consigning.
Feels like it just took a bite of a pineapple.
It's not overtly sweet, I will say that.
You know what else I'm picking out of the nose in this? A little dairy back there.
That wouldn't surprise me. I sometimes
it's like a Chardonnay little dairy you get going on sometimes.
What mm-hmm. are you saying?
In the nose, I picked up a little dairy.
Like milk dairy?
Yeah, almost like a cream or butter.
Yeah, cream. Oh. Yeah. That is not unusual. I agree. I smell it right off the top now.
I mean, I was going in there looking again for some minerality, and that popped up in there. I was actually trying to swirl these bubbles away. So as I look at Rob's glasses, his bubbles are gone. Mm-hmm. I think he spiked our drinks.
Yes, it did.
Ooh, it has a waxy mouthfeel.
It's not overtly sweet. It has good acidity on the finish.
Is this oaked?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely. That's all acidity. They would never oak a Riesling.
Unless they want, I read that on the website, though.
Unless they wouldn't make me barf. No.
I thought I read oak casks.
I never saw that. I actually have the... let's just take a look here. This is mostly from the Ancient Lakes AVA. Interesting.
I don't think we've had anything on the show from Ancient Lakes. I don't even know where that is. Is that part of a smaller... Is that a sub of another region?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. I do not see a mention as to barrel aging.
I'll keep doing my research as the intern.
This has a little oddball thing, and I'm trying to remember something to compare this to this specific structure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little minerality.
Yeah.
Late in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Becky was talking about oak, I was focusing on that finish, and I think what you're thinking of as oak is just a little bit of minerality on the back side. There's
minerality and acidity.
Well, the acidity's gone, and then there's mm-hmm. just a little minerality there, just a touch.
Yeah, there. Yeah, there's.
Can you think of anything else structured that way?
Well, not a Riesling. Well, let me rephrase that. One thing, I think if this was a bit cooler, because we talked a little bit before we drank it, a little bit cooler, and you would see a little bit of that dissipate. You wouldn't notice it as much, and it might be a little more crystalline. But quite frankly, you are getting a better picture of it now that it is warmer.
The next
glass that we'll have will be a little bit cooler.
I like it.
I would think
like
you
that.
Would.
That expression of minerality like that.
No. It has interest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's off dry is how I would describe this. It's not sweet. It's certainly not dry. But it's somewhere in between. Off dry.
Yeah, I was trying to decide, is that just a sweet expression of fruit up front? Or is that actual sweetness there? Because it is on the front side.
It isn't your typical expression of residual sugar. There isn't a residual sugar quote in there. I mean,
not at all.
No, the sweetness peaks out with a little bit of pineapple sweet, but it doesn't linger in any way, shape, or form because the acidity kicks in, kind of cleans it up. And then you have that minerality right as a backstrap of minerality that kind of gives it complexity, but kind of takes it away from the sweetness. Sushi?
Hmm.
A spicy sushi roll?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. A lot of Asian foods, actually, this would be quite nice.
Yeah.
For.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pan noodles. Pad Thai.
A nice rice noodle based salad with crushed peanuts, green mm-hmm. onion. You could throw some baby shrimp in there.
Oh, yeah.
Sesame oil.
Oh, this is the best pairing of a wine that we've had on the show for Asian food. Foods. Asian food.
Just
Oriental, that's a bad term.
Straight.
It's racist. I expect it from you.
White wines are for women. Mm-hmm. He says.
That's sexist. That's not racist. I'm just saying. I'm being truthful. Damn, Trump.
The Eroica beer line is aged in oak.
They have Eroica beer?
Yes.
I don't want that.
Back to food pairings before serious. I was so rudely and crassly interrupted and judged.
Go ahead.
Shamed by the sleeping giant.
I'm woke. That's the difference.
No, you're asleep. Sure. You're in a coma, son. You're in a medically induced coma tonight.
Hey, if the superstar were here.
Miso. This would be
miso
wonderful.
What? Oh, I thought it was a joke. You mean the soup? Okay.
So
I was waiting for you to say the next part. I didn't know why you were going to say that, but.
This would be a perfect glass of wine, whether you're at a sushi place or a fine dining style Japanese steakhouse.
You mean like hibachi?
With the first entree where you get ginger dressing.
Sure. That's fine. Yeah.
The little appetizer portion.
With the shitty salad with the dressing.
I love
the ginger dressing.
I know. Same. Yeah, actually,
the
William
shrimp,
loves that too.
Right?
This would be a
great glass of wine for that.
Not a lot of people do like tiered wine with hibachi, but you know, I do, you know, Asahi or Tsingtao or something like that.
Baby.
Yeah.
There's always a guy pounding Miller Lights.
Yeah, there's always that guy in there. Yeah.
You have this glass of Riesling, then you go into the real stuff. The full order of hot sake. And always go at least middle of the road on their offerings.
See, I'm not a lover of sake.
Same.
You can get a sake tini. Which basically you put enough grenadine in it, you can. It's bullshit, but those are really tasty, but what the hell is that? I'm not a big sake person. I just never have been, you know.
You are?
I love it. Mm. So.
Have you ever had pearl sake with the white creamy residue that floats around?
I was going to say, I don't like anything that's even remotely like that, like white Russians, any of that. I can't drink it.
Well, nobody has ever told me what that white residue is in it. When I worked at Anderson's, we had a different idea as to what it was, and we sold it.
I bet you did.
And it wasn't my idea.
I was shocked by that.
Well, I didn't say it.
When I was younger in a different life form.
I would suggest you would be in a different life form if you were younger, yes.
Japanese researcher who was just with the outfit for about 2 years. And during that time, I got married. The traditional Japanese offering to a young married couple is a matching set of sake glasses.
Oh,
really?
And that night when he gave us that gift, he was just getting ready to leave the country. Mm. And we drank sake all night, did different flights, different tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And he waited till the end of the night, and then he broke out with myself and my good buddy Clayton, and we had some really expensive sake, and it was out of this world.
Have things changed custom-wise since 1847 when you were really young?
Yes.
I didn't know they had sake back in those days. Well, it must have been very expensive to import that.
Sock it to me.
There you go.
Yeah. Pow.
So what do you think about this, Becky? You haven't said much about that.
I like it more than I expected to. The sugar on it is pretty low.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a sweetness there, but it's as Rob was saying, it's not like this high residual sugar quotient. It's just a nice... expression. I'm still confused. Is it really sweet, or is it sweet fruit on the front side?
I know. Right.
I think it is a little sweet, but
very little. My question, though, is having drank these other things before, I'm not sure why I would buy this at the same money as you could get a Selbach Ulster or Cabernet or something like that. That's proper German Riesling.
You want an American Riesling?
Well, yeah, but sorry. USA number one, maybe it's number two. I wouldn't buy any Dr. Lucen's offerings unless they're very expensive, because we've drank the Slapshot. Well, the Harriet Dick Schlappman stuff that's an inside joke, that he makes at around $12. The Dr. L.
That got similar scores that this did.
No, it did not.
Oh, yeah, it was 89 and 90.
From who? Harry Dick Schlattman.
Some of the same folks that were on this list.
I don't think Jeb Dunnick would ever give.
Wasn't Jeb.
Okay, James Suckling.
Maybe.
Okay, that's Harry. That's his name, basically. No, nobody's going to. I mean, come on. L, what did we give it, an 80?
It was not good.
No, it was not good. It tasted like sick and fruit and sugar mixed together.
Expertly.
And yes, I mean, you know, we had to talk about other things because we didn't want to drink that shit.
We didn't drink it. No. That was one of the first ones that we couldn't drink it.
Mm-hmm. But I like this.
I have a question. How long could you age this?
Well, Jeb thinks it's ageable.
Until when, though?
He didn't say.
Yeah, I don't know.
About 30 days. No, you know, I think that it has a shelf life similar to other 20 and below wines. You know, I think you'd still be around doing okay in 3 years. But that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But this one is designed for that, but at the same time, normally you want to see a bigger residual sugar number or some, because of the cabinets, for instance. And that's the driest. So in Germany, you have cabinet, spätlese, auslese. Auslese, late harvest, spätlese, regular, cabinet dry. The cabinets tend to be the least ageable. The auslases are the more ageable because they have higher residual sugar. So with that, with this lower residual sugar number, it makes you say, really, what is that? What? And, but this is the question, better question. What's the benefit of aging it? Yeah, I don't
that's
know
the question
that.
I'd ask. You know, is it going to like express something differently?
I age Washington Rieslings. Do you now? Yes, I do. You're a very interesting person. I mean, you're not going to get in that person's car, are you, at the end of the night? I'm not. You know, bandsaw and some plastic sheeting.
That was an alarming question.
What? Which part?
Are you going to get in their car?
I said, no, I'm not going to get in that car. Because mm-hmm. you know how that ends. You've seen movies. We've all seen those movies.
Silence of the Lambs.
No, that was he pushed the girl in the back of his van.
No, he needed help getting something out, right?
Yeah, but that dude's not going to pretend. You just know he's creepy. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have night vision and sneak up behind you and push you in the van when he asks you to lift the couch up. And they ain't going to do that. You're just going to get in the car thinking this is a nice gentleman. And then... and the chloroform comes out, and then bad things happen. But that's the Washington Riesling collector.
Oh, that's nice.
And for him, maybe, but not for anybody else. I'm kind of questioning why you enjoy that, but okay.
Well,
I will say, as my Riesling has warmed up a little bit,
yes,
the minerality at the end is more pronounced to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the coolness of it really muted it. I couldn't taste it as much, but it is very, very nice on the end. It almost has, this one, to me, it almost has the minerality that you find in, like, a good sparkler. That's what, like, the end of it tastes like to me.
Well,
is that where the minerality expressed in that Gamay sparkler? Wasn't it?
The Gamay sparkler was sweeter.
No, it was in the middle.
The most minerality that I recall as having in a sparkler was Fresh and Ye. But the problem with that was it was a mushroom river rock.
There was pretty good minerality in that well, Gamay.
But it had so much bright rhubarb sweetness that it was a little
was
bit
sweet.
Different balance than this.
It
I wouldn't say more
was,
or less.
Correct. Yeah. But what I was posing was, where did it express itself? Thank you for drawing us back into the wine, by the way, Triple B. You know, it's the voice of reason.
I know. Rob's been all over the board.
I hate to be entertaining. I'm sorry, folks.
Oh, my God.
You've been all over cereal.
The wine.
Murderers.
Is
we're not going back there.
Sweet.
I do need a little bit more. This is a nice wine.
Look at you finishing your glass.
How about that?
Back to cereal killers.
No. What if the Dornfelder drinker guy,
Fritz,
met up with the Riesling collector guy?
Oh, man.
That would be a van ride.
Oh. I want like this much.
So who picks up who in their van?
I don't want that much.
Well, why would Fritz be out roving the countryside?
Did
that's
you see
not...
the,
he was in a van
too. Did you see the Corques Chateau Saint Michel and Dr. Lucin on it?
Yes. It's actually quite attractive.
Mm-hmm. But why would they be together? Are they developing a supervillain group?
No, that was the premise.
That's an odd premise. But
one of them tried to abscond the other one. They turned out they're both
murderers.
Creepy it's wine like, collecting.
I'm the one that gets us off track, by the way. But that'd be like when Freddy Krueger battled Jason, right?
This is
but kind of a lamer dollar fight, wouldn't it be? Because both of them...
It'd be just as interesting.
I to you, perhaps. But I respect people more than that, so...
Sure.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Well, not everybody.
Rob, the model of not respect anybody. For other human beings.
No, some people. You just not met them yet that I respect. I haven't either. I don't know who they are. I'm sure that they exist, though. I respect Jim Dunnick. He's fantastic.
Sure.
Except... when he suggests that this is collectible.
Well, it's his, I mean, you know,
you
I don't
put
think
him
he's,
in a category of serial killers.
I don't think
killers.
He's wrong. No, he said other people could do it. He probably is trying to zero in on that group that would do that helping. He's probably a plant for the FBI is what I'm saying.
Wow.
He's like James Bond is what I'm saying.
He is James Bond.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's so great. Anyway, he's so handsome. Great. Love that guy. Anyway.
That's such a man crush.
That's right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to discuss an article from the Wine Enthusiast. Now, I know you're saying, Rob, why would you just talk about an article that somebody wrote? Well, the reason is none of us, read the fucking Wine Enthusiast. I only knew about this because I got an email about it, and I went, oh.
From
our
reader?
No, from Wine Enthusiast.
Oh.
Yes, they'll do anything to have somebody read their writings. So what they did is they talked about wine alcohol levels and how they're lying to you, which I think is very important.
What's the title of the article if someone wants to read about it?
Why a wine's alcohol by volume is lying to you. It's a good title by Sean P. Sullivan.
And actually, he's one of my favorite. He's a blogger, but he doesn't write exclusively for the Enthusiast. I like his stuff on there. It's usually interesting, somewhat technical, and usually he expands on the topic to make it interesting and not as geeky.
Okay, so we know one person that reads the Wine Enthusiast. So
I like Sean Sullivan's stuff, period, in a discussion.
Well, the one thing, what he's talking about, I'm just going to distill it down to its essence. Oh, there we go. Wine alcohol volumes, there's a 1% variance in the amount that's actually in the bottle. Is it 1.5?
1.5.
Oh, so yes. So if it's 14% on the bottle, it could be 12.5 or it could be 15.5.
It could be anywhere between, if the bottle is listed at 12.5, it could be between 11 and 14.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Have you seen some at 11?
No.
Not usually.
Although Riesling is.
I feel like everything we see is 14, 15, maybe 13.
Yeah, this is 13, I think.
Some of the low-ender stuff will have some low alcohol numbers. If you look at the whites,
yeah,
occasionally you'll be in 11s.
But
the French stuff, you'll see 11s.
Yeah, Bordeaux is 12.5. The reason why they do that, though, folks, they have to let the alcohol, tobacco, ATF, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. The Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, they have to tell them what the alcohol level is on there prior to basically the product being bottled and whatnot and before they really know what the alcohol level is. So that's why they'll say 14. And that's why you see so many things at 14. Now, ranges, that's why you might say, well, this wine only has 14%, but I feel drunk. That might be because you drank 6 bottles, but it also might be because that one's actually 15.5.
Yep.
I wonder what Earthquake Zin... Oh, no. Clinker Brick. I wonder what that really was. What was that, 16 on the label? That son of a bitch was 17 and a half, man. You know, I mean, we've had wines like that that have seemed that way, and this article kind of explains a little bit of that.
So the other thing, there's a little variation. When you get above 14% by listing, then you have to be within a range of 1%.
Oh, that's where the 1% came in.
Where the 1% came in. So this all rises from, once upon a time, that there was a difference in the rate that taxes were charged.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you were 14% above, the winemaker paid more taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what people did?
They lied.
They keep everything below 14%.
Wow.
So triple B.
How many?
Query.
Query.
How many bottles of wine do you think the Alcohol Tax Bureau?
I already read the number.
How dare you?
It's shocking. In my mind, it should be 5,000. 10,000.
Well, did you finish the question? How many bottles what?
Did they actually test?
Okay.
Do you know the answer?
No.
Last year, less than 200 bottles.
118. That's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just encourages people to fudge the numbers. And, you know, it's funny. This plays right into your original discussion of, and it's not, I don't think what you're saying is we need all this more government regulation. We just need to change the way the industry does things so that there's more
formality.
Well, and I think it's also a pride thing. Have enough pride in yourself that you are actually making what you say you're making.
Yeah, I know. And I think there should be different categories where I don't know how you would judge it, but when we're talking about the Olympic scale, wines that are taking themselves seriously in the market, that are trying to do things on a legit level, should be be one classification. It's like the French classification system, where you have just your table wine plunk, and then nobody gives a shit about those things. Your unclassified wines. Those are your menage a trois. Those are most of the things that Scott has at his house. the troublemakers. Those things that don't follow any industry standards, that don't care about residual sugar levels, that don't care about, you know, whether or not you're using an oak chip or a barrel, don't care about if you're using Purple Magic or you're actually using grape juice. They don't care if you're Fry Brothers, any of that stuff.
And
they're the ones that can say, this is Hocking Hills Winery, and they're actually using California.
Oh, no. See, no, I don't agree with that. No. Different.
Yes.
The Hocking Hills would still be in the premium class. You're still being bitter about that, and you need to let that go. No, you could still be someone who sources grapes, but you're following certain winemaking styles. You don't have to be a state wine. So that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody that grows their own grapes. We're talking about somebody that actually follows wine procedures and how they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think the Italian system's very structured as well.
Oh, it is, yes.
And it just gives you more information as a consumer.
It's all about labeling laws. Reserve should mean something. All these things should mean something. There should be classification. So you have Tier A, Tier B, Tier C, Tier D. I'm glad I actually named those letters in sequence
you
properly.
Got
but
them right.
I did. I wasn't going to go to E or F.
Phonics is working for you.
But nevertheless, you have your Group A. That's
your table wines.
No,
the equivalent of Grand Cru.
Well, we'll start off. That's your Arbor Mist, that kind of crap. I don't even Arbor Mist, and those are wine coolers. Those don't even classify as wine products. So we'll just get that. That's your Barefoot.
What's that one, Carlo Rossi, that comes in like a glass jug?
Carlo Rossi?
Yeah.
All that crap. Although, I don't know if Carlo is, that's low quality, but I'm not sure. You drink that. What's it like?
It's fantastic.
We have to have that on the show. I would also put your, like, Franzia there.
Sure. Box wines, Boda Box, even though you love that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all going to be in a certain classification where, you know, when you're getting a class C, you know that's going to be something that's made it's going to be made within a certain region. So say it's all Lodi, you know it's going to be all Lodi. Or if it's California, say that's class C. So anything in that is going to be a California class AVA. Now, you can have good wines in C, but, you know, whatever.
But I think also on a Class A, it would be like you don't have to tell where it's sourced from, anything like
that.
Yeah,
it's just slop in a bucket.
When you're, as you move down the scale, that's when you're like, this is from California, and we actually mean it's only from California. We're not, you know, kind of fudging boundaries and being like, oh, it's actually Nevada, whatever. It's like, actually
we make this
California.
In Lodi. No, you do not.
Yeah.
Well, that would also help the AVA specific wines. So you know it's an AVA specific wine, and that means something. Currently, I mean, what did Franciscan do? They went, well, yeah, we don't really just do Napa Cab anymore. It has Monterey in it. You have a thimble full of fucking Napa in there.
Yeah.
We can taste the difference, dickheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it,
assholes.
But there would be challenges to developing that because
Wagner has a lot of money.
Well, so I have a question. Do you think that the U.S. is hesitant or has not done it because of the volume of wine? Do you think there's not enough drive for it? Do you think they're worried about sales? What do you think would be like the main reason?
Land of the free, home of the brave. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. Once you've established that, so this leads into something I was just thinking and about to say. How would you determine what's the Italian DOCG?
Mm-hmm.
Which means essentially it's...
Well, I would make a shorter name than that stupid
it's
stuff.
It's just the way we make it locally.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have their local boards that judge that. I don't know that you do that in California, although they could just ask me and I would actually make all that for them for a small fee. Probably for just drinking things. But
yep,
still.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Maybe a cookie. A
lot of port.
Or something like that. A lot of port.
Would it have to be a fresh cookie?
No.
Would it be one of... those special
Chips
cookies?
Ahoy soft bags.
No, I don't do well on those. No.
Yeah.
As Steve has found out. Yeah.
So would you have to go on a weed and wine journey?
There's no weed. What the hell does the weed have to do with
it? Yeah. Apparently you didn't read all of the Wine Enthusiast because there's an article on Weed and Wine Tours.
I just said I don't read the Wine Enthusiast. You're the only douche that reads the Wine Enthusiast.
That's just interesting.
You need something for the bathroom. Oh, okay, I'll take that. If I run out of toilet paper, I got it.
That was when I was driving home from work.
When you're reading when you're driving home from work?
No, not exactly.
Okay, probably so.
No.
Well, the CRVs drive themselves.
But the point, again, is what is the typical way we make wine in this country? And you would argue that the typical way is the slap happy slop way.
Yeah, it's,
that's probably more typical than proper traditional methods.
I'm tired of the manipulated bullshit. Wine for a style.
Question.
Yeah.
We've been hardcore wine drinkers for the past couple of years, right? Before, I feel like I was much, much more of a casual wine drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I never one time thought about the U.S. having more rules and regulations. But the more that I drink, the more that I wish we had it. Because then it would really filter out things easily for me.
And I don't know that the government establishing these rules is the right way to go. More like, you know, people
self-governance.
Who care. A system similar to like a school board where it's industry people who care.
In my mind, I'm like, Class A could also be people that don't even want to participate. You're just automatically Class A.
But I think, honestly, I think what we're talking about is a pie in the sky dream.
Yeah,
it
I
will
don't ever
never
see
happen
it happening.
In this country.
Well, I don't either. But the more wine I drink, the more I'm like, I wish you had a heads up on it.
Oh my God! Yeah, for sure.
But then you also have multiple states. I mean, what would Ohio do?
And there's
North Carolina,
that.
Virginia. Yeah,
Ohio's such a big player in the wine industry.
What, New York?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think you'd have to have each state have their own rules, but you'd have to have a classification similar as to Italy and France and all those other things. Do it. Those are some ideas, though, folks. I'm sure you think we're right, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with a review of the Erotica.
Oh God.
Or erotica, as it should be, here on the Wine Vault.
Thank you.
And we're back, folks. So, we are going to be reviewing the 2016 Eroica Riesling, the confab between Dr. Lucin and Chateau St. Michel. It's from Washington, here in the United States. And we're going to go around the room, and I am actually wildly curious to see what these reviews will be, because I have no idea this very second what I'm going to do. But we're going to go over to the Triple B, because she always goes first, because her wisdom is unparalleled, her bias is unquestionable, and her integrity is never wavering. So, Triple B.
That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure. I think you got the bias thing wrong. I think it's unbiased, but we'll
run. I meant what I said, but that, go ahead.
I'm going to give it an 88.
88.
Yeah. I'm like an 88, 89-ish. I think it is a Riesling that I like more than other Rieslings. I think it has a nice sweetness, but like we discussed, it's not a like residual sugar. It's that the fruit makes it sweet. I think it has some nice layering in it. I like the mouthfeel because it is waxy. I think that's like a... something I often forget about white wines, which is nice. I like the acidity on it. It is a little bit light-bodied for me, but overall, I would give it an 88.
Okay.
That's my score exactly. That's where I'm at. I don't know that I would go 87 to 89. I'm more 86 to 88, and I'm going to go ahead with that high end. But, yeah, what do you do with this? Is this – what's the place for this? But you know, if you like white wines and you want to see something in an American style that is more along the lines of what you might get from a German, it's not a German, but it's more headed that way, yeah. Kind of as a transition thing to get that way. Maybe that's its purpose. Because at $20, you know,
$17.99.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It doesn't. I would recommend it more if somebody else was buying it for you.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, you know, if this was a $12 or $13 wine,
I would
be like, buy it every day. But I'm like, you're getting into $20. There's so much more you can buy.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure I like this better than Kung Fu Girl Riesling.
You didn't review-wise. I think you both gave that like a 90 or something like that.
This probably has a little more elegance than that did.
That was a touch sweeter.
That though had more of a direct purpose. You knew it was trying to be Riesling. This is trying to be something,
yeah,
more than Riesling.
It's like, and a German influenced Washington Riesling.
And maybe this is an elite Riesling. It's just we're just Riesling rubes. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm giving it also an 88. That's kind of where I'm at. It doesn't have the je ne sais quoi.
It just needs like one more thing.
I think.
It requires a twinkle, some jazz.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes it racier, a racier mouthfeel. It's fairly.
And like there is like a little bit of a waxy mouthfeel, but not overly.
But it's not racy. It's not all that particularly interesting either.
Not a lot. There's some pineapple, not a lot.
Or a little grassiness or something like that. I don't know. It just doesn't taste that upscale.
Yeah. If you said this costs $17.99, you'd be like, okay.
Which is fine. And by no means are we saying that's overpriced. But you know, if we played that, what would you pay game?
$14.99. I'm saying it's overpriced. It's not a $17.99 wine. Also, sorry, Jeb. There's no 92 here.
I know. I don't know how you're getting it. I almost felt bad, but I'm like, I can't even begin to get into the 90s.
You're really just picking at shit if you want to try to suggest there's a cohesive unit here that gets it to that. And I agree, Scott. It's 86 to 88.
Yeah.
It's not 87 to 89.
It's good.
Certainly not an 88 to 90. It's good. It's drinkable. I don't know that I mean... Remember, this is a long time ago. This was Montes Alfa Syrah. It got like a 92 from the Spectator.
Right.
And we didn't even recommend it, but we gave it like mid to high 80s.
But we just didn't recommend it.
Because we said it was like 17, 18 bucks. You're like, it was 20. It's like, for what purpose are you going to buy this?
Yeah.
And this kind of comes in that level too. It's like, Kung Fu Girl, it's a little more linear. It's maybe a little more simplistic. But then again, it knows what it is, and it's probably for the general public a little more appealing. This, I would buy German. I would buy Selbach Ulster.
Yeah.
There's many things I would buy in that high teens to low 20s that is the real thing, not a knockoff. This isn't a knockoff, but it's those things have a little bit more. They are a little more proper. They're not. This still tastes a little bit stylized.
Maybe. Here's where I see this as a purpose. You're not a white wine drinker, but you want to have some white wine around for your friends who are. Yeah. But you know what else I think this would be nice? A nice.
By Rayburn Chardonnay.
Oh, no shit. This is a nice gift wine.
Well, it is. Ferrari Carano Fumé Blanc. Oof. Robert Mondavi Fumé Blanc.
Ooh, the 50th anniversary.
Domaine Wachau.
That's not fair.
That is fair. It's the same price, Scott.
That's not fair.
And beats this thing wine. Like a...
So, something that I was thinking about, and it's not fair, because a Riesling is a Riesling.
Yeah.
But I really would pick a Sauvignon Blanc over a Riesling every day of the week.
Well, so would I.
And to some degree, that's personal preference, but I think there's a reason for that. You know?
The acidity is more well-defined. It also is better tailored throughout the wine, unless it's Kim Crawford's signature. It was bad. But that's the thing about this thing, though. You say... Where does it fit? What is its purpose?
At
it's lovely.
It really
get
is
a
lovely.
A lot more.
You can. And you can get things that know what they are more than this thing does. And that's the thing. What is it? I mean, we know it goes good with Asian food, but beyond that, what is it? And I don't know.
I think they know what this is, and it's exactly what they want it to be.
Yeah, it's something to make money.
If it was more spectacular, it wouldn't be priced in that range.
Yes, it would be, because it's always priced this range and always gets these reviews, too.
Huh.
Because they have a lot of money. Let's be frank. They have a lot of money. And if I'm going to get something that's sweet in this price range, I'm buying a vintage character port. I know you're not, but I just am. And so I just don't... That's the other thing. What is the utility? So... As for a recommendation?
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's fine.
Sure, you can.
Sure, you can buy it.
Sure. Go buy it.
It's delicious. I love it.
I love it. It'll
make you beautiful.
I like it a lot. No, it's...
This is a fine summertime deck wine. Sure.
No, it's not.
That's my best recommendation for it.
Okay.
No. It's too expensive for that. But nevertheless.
Stop.
388s. No decision as to whether or not we like it or not. But nevertheless, that's what we're here for. So for...
Indecisiveness.
Indecisiveness.
Right. This is one of the least indecisive...
But you know what? We're decisive on our indecisiveness. Yes, we have no idea what we think of this wine or if we even like it. But nevertheless, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Rob the Wine Guy?
I said Rob the Wine Guy, douche. And the Triple B. I still stand by what I said in that episode.
You don't have one.
We're going to bid you adieu. And we're going to see you next time. On maybe a shittier Riesling. Here on the Wine Vault. Good night.